Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 41. This is God's word. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favour with God and men. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can read about Jesus even when he was just a boy. Lord, help us to learn from him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a key phrase contained in this reading that I want us to spend a few moments thinking about. It's a phrase that contains a principle that we'd all do well to adopt in 2018. The journey would have been well known by Mary and Joseph traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. There were certain psalms of ascent that they would recite on their way. So, for example, Psalm 128, just part of it. "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways." That'd be one thing, and among others that they would repeat on their way up to Jerusalem. And when they were going to Jerusalem, they were going to celebrate the Passover, remembering how God rescued his people from Egypt in the same way that we remembered this morning when Jesus was consecrated. But it's incredible, isn't it, that that event in Egypt all those years ago was pointing forward to Jesus, who is now going to Jerusalem to celebrate the event that points to him. Just blows my mind. I mean, he went, we're told, every year they went. At what age did Jesus know that? At what age did he comprehend that that event then was about him, that was about to happen? Just incredible. I'm sure every time Mary went to the temple, went to celebrate the Passover, I'm sure she would have in her mind those words that Simeon spoke to her that we looked at this morning. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." All about Jesus. I'm sure Mary would bring those things into her mind, and I'm sure she would ponder, what did it mean that a sword would pierce her own soul as well? How would that be fully fulfilled? So it was a usual routine, going to Jerusalem, joining the feast of the Passover, celebrate God's provision and deliverance, return home. But on this occasion, something different happened, didn't it? We all know the story. Jesus, 12 at that point, is not among the travelling party. Can you imagine the panic? Can you imagine Mary and Joseph searching among the relatives and then 3 days, just anxiously searching, just trying to find Jesus? To quote Luke, after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. But now notice what Jesus said. And this is the phrase that contains the principle that we would do well to adopt into 2018. Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me?" And then he said this, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? And contained in that phrase is a principle we would do well to adopt in our lives. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? That compulsion that Jesus had, I had to be, was no duty. This is something that's a delight to him. He just had to be there. He wanted to be there. The New King James puts it like this. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business. About my Father's business. That is the principle that we must adopt, being people who are always about our Father's business. Two very simple points I just want to pull out from there before we celebrate communion. First one is, Jesus did what we fail to do. Okay, Jesus did what we fail to do. Jesus came to earth to be our substitute. For those of you who have the devotional book New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp, if you've been reading it, I think it was about a week ago, there were words similar to this. All Jesus' suffering was substitutional by nature. And Paul David Tripp listed many of the sufferings of Jesus that he experienced, his humble birth, rejection, being an outsider, being part of a poor family, the temptation he suffered, hunger. And Jesus didn't have to suffer any of those things, and then ultimately the crucifixion. Jesus chose to suffer those things, and it was substitutionary. All his suffering, he was suffering in your place. He was suffering in my place. Them wounds, he didn't need to receive them. Jesus suffered for our rebellion, our rejection. This afternoon, we should let that truth sadden us, humble us, shame us. But not only did Jesus serve us by substituting himself in our place, in our suffering, his whole way of life was a substitution. So Jesus came to earth to substitute himself for us, in as much as Jesus lived in the way that we fail to. He did what we fail to do. It should be the mantra of our existence that every single breath, the purpose of it, should be to be about our Father's business. But it isn't, is it? I mean, before we come to Christ, I'm sure many of us can recount wasted years living for our own agendas. But even as followers of Jesus, how often, if we pulled up an agenda for our week, how much of it is to be about our Father's business? Now, I'm not saying here that we can't do things which are not all centered around the church, but are we living in such a way as to be about our Father's business in everything that we do? Because not to do that is sin. God deserves and demands 100% commitment and loyalty in every moment of our lives. How many 12-year-olds do you know that live like Jesus? When I was 12, I was more concerned about completing Super Mario than the glory and kingdom of Christ. How sad. More concerned about getting a top score on a screen, highest number of points. Sadly, but by the grace of God, not much changes for people, does it? People go from wanting a little number on the screen to be big to one on the bank statement being big. You know, that's much of our society. It's exactly the same, isn't it? It's just a grown-up version of Mario. Such trifles, such nothingness, such dust that captures us and leads us away from God, our Father's house, our Father's business. And living in that way deserves eternal damnation in the lake of fire. What were you bothered about at 12? What are you bothered about today? What fills your time? Being about your Father's business? But do you see, this is the grace of God, because where our sin abounds, the grace of God does what? It superabounds. So Jesus did, even at the age of 12, what many of us fail to do today. He is under such compulsion that he is in the temple discussing with the teachers of the law. Incredible. Jesus has an allegiance to his Father that goes beyond his allegiance even to his own earthly parents. We see this again later in Jesus' ministry. Jesus is preaching, his mother and brothers call him, and they want him to stop preaching effectively. And Jesus rebukes them and says, who is my mother and brothers? It's those who do God's will. You see, Jesus has an allegiance that goes beyond Mary, goes beyond Joseph, to his Father in heaven. That allegiance at 12, being in the temple, being about his Father's business, is nothing in comparison to what his allegiance would drive him to at 33. At 33, his allegiance would take him to the cross, where after living the life we should have lived, he dies the death we should die, so that people who believe in him by faith, who see Jesus for who he truly is, receive a righteousness that is not our own. He came to seek and save lost people, to make them right with God. So that's our first point. Jesus does what we fail to do. Our second one is this. This is where it gets more challenging, because Jesus now calls us to live that way. So Jesus' whole way of life was to be about his Father's business. And this is what he calls his followers to. Anyone who would follow him, anyone who would be his disciple, well, let me give you the words of Jesus. He says this: anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. The disciple of Jesus is called to be about his business, kingdom business, to be like Jesus, to follow Jesus, to believe on Jesus. And as we stand on the cusp of a new year, that is what we are called to do. And this is radical, because it's not the so-called Christianity that is modelled by many who claim to follow Jesus. Sadly, there are many who claim the name of Christ who don't live anything like Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling us to radical discipleship. Now, I'm not talking about just in the major decisions, in the big things. I'm talking about in those 1,000,001 decisions we make every single day, living in for the priority of Christ. Jesus' response, did you notice it, when his parents actually find him and ask him, you know, why have you treated us like this? Do you notice just the of course-ness about it? So of course you should have thought I would be here. So he says, you know, why were you searching for me? Did you not know? Of course you should know. Of course I'm going to be in my Father's house. Of course this is going to be my business. I wonder if that'll be true of you and me this year. Of course when you rang me on Monday night, you didn't find me and I was at the prayer meeting. Of course I have that tract in my pocket, being intentional about speaking to someone about Jesus. Of course I set the alarm early. I wanted to do my quiet time. Of course I behaved like this. Of course I went to this place. What a challenge. I want to read you an essay. This is written by a girl called Brooke. This is recorded by Francis Chan in his book Crazy Love. Brooke wrote this when she was 12 years old. This is what she writes. I'll live my life to the fullest. I'll be happy. I'll brighten up. I will be more joyful than I have ever been. I will be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Christ. I will go on adventures and change the world. I will be bold and not change who I really am. I will have no troubles, instead help others with their troubles. You see, I'll be one of those people who live to be history makers at a young age. Oh, I'll have moments, good and bad, but I'll wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I remember, just good moments, nothing in between, just living life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who go somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I will pray for direction. I have my life before me. I will give others the joy I have, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do. I will follow the footsteps of God. I will do my best. That was a girl of 12 years of age. She used to spend her babysitting money on Bibles to give her unsaved friends. At 14 years of age, she died in a car crash. And I think about 1,500 people came to her funeral, and I think every one of them took a Bible away with them that day. Incredible. She got it. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. Jesus said, didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's business? Let's pray together before we meet around the Lord's table. Father, as we just look at Jesus, we are truly humbled and truly grateful. We're so thankful that he did what we failed to do. If Jesus had pleased himself at 12 and stayed at home and done whatever, Father, we would have been lost. But he lived that blameless, perfect life, always being obedient to you. And now he calls us to follow in his footsteps. Help us. Help us. We can't do that without your supernatural grace in our hearts. Please give it to us in abundance. Please, by your Spirit, come and give us desires to follow and trust and love you. Please humble us. Make us those who are dependent on you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.